This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. The name Toni Stone may not ring a bell, but maybe it should. Toni Stone was the first of three women allowed to play professional baseball in the Negro Leagues Baseball League. Her time in professional ball included a short stint with the Kansas City Monarchs, and at one point in her playing career, she replaced home run king Hank Aaron. The Unicorn Theater is now staging a production called Toni Stone, based on the book Curveball, about the life of Toni Stone. She's also a feature character in the Amazon series A League of Their Own, which premiered last month. To be sure, the road that Toni Stone traveled was not an easy one. With us, Martha Ackman is author of Curveball, the remarkable story of Toni Stone. Martha, it's nice to have you. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Bob Kendrick is the president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. And why is it always a good day when Bob Kendrick is in the house? Bob, always good to have you here. Welcome.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks, man. It's great to be back.
Jada Levon is the actress who plays Toni Stone in this production at the Unicorn Theater. Jada, welcome to you as well.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Martha, how hard was it to find out information about Toni Stone? Because I have a sense this was not easy work.
It was not easy work. During Toni's life, the mainstream newspapers didn't cover the Negro Leagues. Mm-hmm. And so there was very little information available there. The black newspaper, Chicago Defender, was a different story. Even the Baseball Hall of Fame didn't have, well, really much of anything on her. Wow. I had scheduled about a week to do research there and came up short. It's really a reflection of racism in that the Negro Leagues were not covered or thought to be important.
So where did that leave you and where did you go for help?
Well, I spent an awful lot of time in old guys' garages and basements and former players of Toni. And I've got to say, those were some of the best days ever. And so they told me about playing with Toni. Toni died in 1997. I didn't start the book until about a decade later. So I didn't get to talk with her. But luckily, there were some audio tapes available, a few videotapes. So I patched it together.
Huh. Jada, you play her in this new production. How much of a sense of her do you actually have?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, thanks to Martha, I've been able to read her book, so that's helped a lot. And being able to go to the baseball museum, the Negro League Baseball Museum. And so I'm just so grateful to Martha and Bob for sustaining the history in this story, because I was surprised as well when I didn't know who Toni Stone was.
I was going to ask you, you didn't know either.
I didn't.
So there's help for the rest of us who maybe hadn't heard of her either.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So how did you figure out how to play her in a play on the stage?
Yeah, I mean, it's been very difficult for sure. I mean, stepping into the role, I was like, oh my gosh, there's so many differences between me and her. Her height, her athleticism, just her how strong she was physically. And so I really had to figure out how to embody that physically. And then just the consciousness of Toni Stone, how her mind worked, the way she held numbers in her brain, which is not something that I am able to do very easily.
She was big on stats, right?
Oh,
she's
absolutely.
Like Bob Kendrick that way. Right?
Absolutely. Just could rattle them off. And so, that was a very big thing I've had to overcome. And then just really seeing the beauty of baseball through her eyes, because baseball wasn't a sport that I necessarily grew up going to a lot of games. I didn't really understand the game that well. And so I really was able to see it in a new way through her perspective.
And Toni Stone loved baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Lived
more
for
than
it,
anything.
Died for it, the whole thing, right?
Yeah. Sacrificed everything for her love of the game. And so that's really been special to step into in this role.
And do I understand right that you actually had to learn how to swing a bat?
Yes, I did. I did. You know, luckily, we had a coach come and work with us, the cast, and so we were able to find our right form. And he coaches Little League. So I was like, well, if the kids can do it, I should be able to do it. But boy, was I wrong. It's tough.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, Bob Kendrick, how does the museum, the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, commemorate the life and times of Toni Stone?
Well, we're very proud, Steve, that we have a wonderful display called Beauty of the Game. And the Beauty of the Game display not only celebrates those three pioneering women that you mentioned, Toni Stone, Mamie Peanut Johnson, Connie Morgan, but also the women who were leaders and executives in the Negro Leagues, the likes of Hilda Bolden, Olivia Taylor, Minnie Forbes, and of course the great Effa Manley, a.k.a. the queen of the Negro Leagues. And so this was really important to us to shine that light, because as an institution, our goal is to have people walk away understanding the true value of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And it's wrapped up inside this incredible story of these athletes who just simply wanted to play ball. And so that notion that women would one day play professional baseball, that's ridiculous. Women have already played professional baseball. And I think it will ultimately happen again. And so, as you can well imagine, our visitors, though, are shocked because they're like, you guys were. They didn't know this story. And many others didn't know this story. But as my late mother would say, you don't know what you don't know. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so important to have an institution like the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum and people like Martha, who dedicated so much of her life to shine a light on someone the magnitude of Toni Stone.
When did you begin to understand the role that women played? I mean, we're talking about this idea, which, you know, for a lot of people is going to surprise them, that women actually played in the professional leagues. Should people be surprised by that?
They probably are, because the notion is that this is yet to ever happen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know about the All-American Girls Professional League, which emerged during World War II. And it's so interesting, coincidentally, last night we had a screening of A League of Their Own, the new Amazon Prime TV series. And several of the producers, the EPs involved with that show, were here, and I was there to participate in a Q&A. And so the novelty of the fact that there were indeed women at play is still something that catches people off guard. They just don't expect that. And as you mentioned, Toni Stone took the roster plays of the legendary Henry Aaron. And I got to know Mamie Peanut Johnson.
Huh.
I got to know Mamie really well. She was a mainstay here at the Negro Leagues Museum, made frequent visits to the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, and she was a hoot. And I didn't get to know Connie or Toni. They had passed away really before my real involvement with the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum began.
I always loved the nicknames, Bob.
They're great nicknames.
They're just so fun. They're so they just capture your imagination, you know?
Yeah, they do. And Mamie Peanut Johnson tells a wonderful story of playing her first game against the Kansas City Monarchs. And the Monarchs, Steve, had a great leadoff hitter named Hank Bayless. And Hank apparently did not realize that the pitcher was a woman. And when he does, he steps out the batter's box and he peers out there and he says in his very condescending fashion, "What you doing out there? You ain't no bigger than a peanut." She promptly struck him out.
And she was peanut
from that day on. And, you know, what I love, and I've gotten to see the play, I think now three times, because I saw the original stage play off Broadway, where April Mathis, the amazing April Mathis, plays Toni Stone, and I felt like a proud papa. I didn't have anything to do with the production, but just as this cast came over to visit the Negro Leagues Museum, many of the original cast, when it was off Broadway, came out to Kansas City, and we hung out, and they got to meet Frank White and talk second base with Frank White and that whole nine yards. And so when I saw the production the very first time, I felt like a proud father. I'm sure when I see it this time, I'll feel that same way, because I'm excited that Negro Leagues Baseball Museum continues to move into a mainstream fashion.
I should point out that Toni Stone is now playing at the Unicorn Theater. It'll be playing through September 25th, the Unicorn at 38th and Main in Kansas City. For ticket information, just visit the Unicorn Theater website. Martha Ackman, should people be surprised that women have long ago played in the major leagues? I mean, help me with that.
Well, I think Bob's right when he says that you know, most people have not heard of Toni's story, but they shouldn't be surprised, because women have always had the same dreams that men have had, that they want to live their life to the fullest, that they have images of themselves that may not conform to what society thinks women should do. You know, it wasn't just that Toni was a good baseball player. it was that baseball was who she was. Mm-hmm. It was her identity. So, you know, when the world says that this is not something that you should be doing, it feels like the world is saying you shouldn't exist. So I like to emphasize that fact about, you know, the importance of dreaming and living your life to the fullest. You know, when Toni was playing, it wasn't an easy thing. She even had members of her own team try to sabotage her.
I was going to ask you about that.
But she also had fans who cheered her on. And one thing that always struck me is that Toni remarked on how women would come up to her after the game and want to touch her, as if, you know, they couldn't believe that she was real. And another thing I think of is this image of a woman running out to second base at Yankee Stadium. Mm-hmm. You know, how? Mm-hmm. How yeah. that must have transformed the people who were watching. I mean, it really was quite a astonishing thing.
Well, Martha, dare I ask, how competitive, how good were these women players?
Toni was very good. She was quick on the pivot at second base. She was a good runner. At one point in the 1953 season, she was batting .364 Holy behind smokes. A guy named Ernie Banks.
May have heard of him.
The great Hall of Famer. Yeah, I heard of him. And I interviewed Ernie for the book, and you know, he talked about how he just couldn't believe it, and he ran into her at a A's game later in their lives, and he said they were kind of separated from the crowd, but he wanted to say just how he knew now what she was up against and how much she respected her. Huh. Now, she didn't stay long at .364, I should say. She her lifetime batting average, as best as I could put it together, was about .249, .250. So,
but that's not shabby.
You know, that,
no.
That is not shabby, not in any way, shape, or form. And another thing I've got to say is that she lied about her age. As Bob will tell
everybody
you.
Everybody lies about their age at some point. Yeah.
Any niggerly players did. So she was 10 years older than she told everybody.
Wow.
So to have those kind of stats and to be in your mid-30s playing, that's really something.
You know, this idea that baseball formed her identity, Martha, that you just mentioned, tell me a little more about that. Just where did that come from, and just how central to her life was baseball? How infatuated with the game was she?
Well, it was absolutely central to her life. She was just a really, really fine athlete. One of the scenes I like in the play is that her mother is saying, "Can't you do something else? And, you know, maybe try ice skating, maybe try basketball." And she excelled at everything. She was even the best kid on the block when it came to Red Rover. So she was just... She was just an enormously gifted athlete, but baseball won her heart. It really was what she wanted to do. And at one point, she actually, I opened the book with a scene where she's confessing to her priest that she's going to run away from home. And mm-hmm. it wasn't that her parents said, "This is an unladylike thing for you to do." Most people would kind of assume that. That wasn't their objection to playing baseball. Their objection was they didn't see a way for her to have any kind of economic independence doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, you know, and who could blame them? Because
right.
there wasn't any woman out there playing professional baseball. But that priest was very smart. He put her on the parish's team. And once she started playing well, the boys on that team accepted her. And that was the case throughout her entire life.
Right.
Once she was given a chance and others could see what she could do,
she was off and running. Yeah.
She was off and running. So she played in barnstorming teams in the upper Midwest, where she'd rattle along in the back of a car with guys who really taught her both the history of the game and the strategy of the
right.
game. Remember,
you know,
this is long before Title IX, and girls just weren't taken seriously as athletes, and they certainly weren't taught strategies. So she had to find it.
You know, given all this, Jada Levon, I'm just wondering, how did you prepare for this role? I mean, how do you go about trying to embody someone like this woman?
Yeah, I mean, it was, like I said, it was very difficult because I was reading the script, and after reading Martha's book and visiting the Negro League Museum, I was like, wow, it feels like there's so many differences between me and her. And then I had to sit back and realize, well, where are the similarities between me and this character? And for one, she lived in Minnesota, and I was actually born in Minnesota. I was born in Minneapolis.
No kidding. I'm a Stillwater kid.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice. So I was like, okay, there are some similarities. We walked similar paths, being growing up in Minnesota and being this awkward black girl and living in a predominantly white area. And then I ended up moving to California when I was going into eighth grade, and I lived in the Bay Area. And Tony eventually goes and lives in San Francisco. And I was like, okay, there's something there. And figuring out how to track her story and make it personal to me. And then realizing, taking off the pressure that I have to become Tony, and more of I'm a conduit to her story.
Oh, that's interesting.
And how
that's
I can allow the spirit and the soul of her to live in me so that people know her story. And so that's just my hope, is that more people know her name. And I believe that you're never really gone as long as people are saying your name. And so if I can be a vessel to carry her story, that to me is, then I'm doing my job.
What would you like to have asked her? I imagine a million things.
Oh, so many. How'd you remember all of them damn numbers, Tony? What did you do? Did you just have photographic memory? Dang.
Because your point is she could just recite numbers and players,
like,
and
an
stats
encyclopedia.
Like,
yeah,
great baseball fans can.
Yeah. And then just wondering how she got through the ridicule, the harassment, and really pushing through that. And in the play, she talks about reaching and reaching past the impossible, the obstacles, the difficulty. You have to just lean in and reach. And so I would have loved to just sit down and be like, what does that look like for you? Is the stats, is that what you do every time someone calls you out of your name, tells you you can't do something, you get kicked in the ribs, but you get back up anyway, and you take your formation at that base?
Yeah.
I would love to just hear about that. And then just her joy and passion of the game from her mouth, of just what baseball means to her. I mean, I have all these stories from Martha's book and seeing the images and the smile on her face of her being in her uniform. But it would just be great, because she's such a storyteller and such a talker, to really hear from her mouth how her mind goes back and forth in all of those narratives.
You got to be a great storyteller to be a great baseball fan, right? Bobby, you've got more great stories. Buck had them. I mean, it just, stories and baseball just sort of go together like Cracker Jacks and baseball.
Yeah. No, they really do. And I think that's the romantic nature of our sport.
Yes, absolutely.
You just measure times in your life by baseball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference, I think, between it and the other major sports. And I love them all, but none of them match that sheer romantic nature of what baseball brings about.
Yeah.
I think, Steve, the reason that the story of the Negro Leagues resonates so much when people actually learn about it is that romantic nature.
Yeah.
Here are these courageous athletes who overcame tremendous social adversity to play the game they love.
Yeah.
And then you add it twofold when you bring Toni Stone into the equation, because now she's not only dealing with racism, she has to deal with sexism.
Mm-hmm.
And yet her passion for the game gave her the will, the determination to keep pushing forward, or to keep reaching, as she said. And what's not to love about a story that?
Yeah.
You know, so it does. It grabs you. It lifts your spirit to see someone who believes in themselves the way that Tony does, particularly as it's described in Martha's book and Lydia Diamond's masterful play.
Mm-hmm.
It does. It uplifts your spirit.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. We're talking about the life and times of Toni Stone, one of the first three women allowed to play professional baseball in the Negro Leagues Baseball League, and a new production of the play Toni Stone that's now at the Unicorn Theater. You know, Bob, help me with something, because one thing that I couldn't quite square based on what everyone is saying here, the great Buck O'Neill, Hall of Famer Buck O'Neill, wasn't crazy about Toni. There's some some research that says they sort of didn't get along that well.
Well,
I can't imagine anybody not getting along with Buck, but that's just me.
Well, and I think what Buck's dilemma was, when Tony gets traded over to the Monarchs, she's traded over to a very good team. Mm. And Buck has to decide whether or not she was going to get the kind of playing time that she had been accustomed to while playing for the Indianapolis Clowns.
And the answer may have been no.
And the answer was no.
Yeah.
And I think Tony understood that, and I think that was part of her motivation for ultimately saying, okay. And I think Martha talked about it. She was already an older player mm-hmm. at that time, much older than she was already led. People were led to believe that she was. And so I think at that point in time, I won't say that her skills were diminishing.
Right.
It was just the fact that you had a lot of young guys ahead of her who I don't think Buck was not one of those to kind of play the game that, you know, if you're going to play, you're going to earn your playing time. I'm not going to put you in ahead of somebody who deserves to be in there.
Yeah.
And that was Buck O'Neill.
You know, Martha, you talked about even her own teammates sometimes weren't wild about having a woman on the team. I mean, we can talk a little bit about, Tony Stone traveling on a bus with 28 men. But you mentioned earlier that some of her teammates actually sabotaged her from time to time. What would they do?
Well, a number of things, as I said, kind of put her in a position where she could be injured, taking throws to second base. They would harass her on the
maybe
bus.
Have her take a throw into the path of a sliding opposing player.
Exactly. A spikes up, slide into second. Harass her on the bus, sexually harassing her. But probably the most vivid example is that you mentioned that Tony was the only woman traveling on a bus with 28 men in the Jim Crow South. They have to get, because of sundown laws, they'd have to get off the road, you know, before they would be hauled over by the police. Her niece, I was able to talk to her niece who lived with Tony for a while about these years, and her niece told me that one time they pulled up to a boarding house in the South, and the men, tired, hungry, got off the bus, and Tony was among the last to get off. The proprietor took one look at her and said, "You can't stay here." He assumed that she was a prostitute traveling with the team.
Wow.
So pointed her to a brothel down the road and said, "You can stay here. Stay down there." And you know, Tony was really devastated by that. It was like no player stood up and said, "Hey, you're talking about our second baseman here.
Mm-hmm.
She stays with us." They went on in. So Tony didn't have much of a choice. And so she went down to the brothel where she, according to Tony, she discovered good girls. I think she discovered somewhat of an outsider status in them. They saw that in her. They gave her a clean place to stay. They gave her a hot meal. They
right.
even sewed padding into the into her shirt so that she could take hard throws to the chest. And eventually she sort of created this network of brothels throughout the South where
wow.
she was even being met by a car. They started following her play in the sports pages. So she turned a real indignity into something that worked for
right.
her. It showed her creativity and her resilience, and again, how much she wanted to play.
Bob, just 30 seconds here, but she should be better remembered today than she is, without any question. I gather that goes without saying.
Oh, absolutely, mm-hmm. and that's why I was so thrilled that this play was produced, because now the world is getting to learn about Toni Stone in the new TV series. They're getting to learn about Toni Stone, and they're getting to learn about the Negro Leagues, and that's a good thing.
Toni Stone, the production plays through September 25th at the Unicorn Theater, 38th and Main. Again, for tickets, go to the Unicorn Theater website. I want to thank Martha Ackman, the author of Curveball, The Remarkable Story of Toni Stone, Bob Kendrick, the president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, Jada Levon, the actress who plays Toni Stone in this production at the Unicorn. Break a leg. Good luck. I guess you really shouldn't break a leg.
Like this,
best of luck to you with the play.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Up to Date is a production of KCUR 89.3. Our theme music was composed by the great Bobby Watson. The program is produced by Danny Alexander, Zach Wilson, Elizabeth Ruiz, and Reginald David. Our engineer is Paul Nakatura. I'm Steve Kraske. Thanks for listening.